You're still sick?
I mean, I'm still a little bit congested, but, you know, not as bad as last week, but, you know.
Yeah, I could just hear a little bit still.
Yeah, I'm still a little bit, yeah.
Okay, you ready to just jump in? Sure. Did you get a chance to listen to?
No, I did not, no.
Man, okay.
I'm sorry, I every year I have, I this year...
Okay, well, I have notes on everything. You'll just have to trust that I got it right this time, then.
It's basically what I'll have to do, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, January 7th, 2016. It is just after 3 UTC. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is with us. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
And as any of you who listened last week would know, this week we are going to review the predictions we made about 2015 at the end of 2014.
Right.
Last week, we made our predictions for 2016, and now we're going to go back and review the predictions we made a year before.
And see how well or poorly we did. Yes.
That's right.
And it's our scoreboard, yes.
It's our scoreboard, and, you know, this is always, like, we used to always do it where we would review the previous year's prediction and then make predictions for the new year. But we stopped doing that a year ago because what was always happening is we were reviewing the predictions for the year before the year was over and making predictions for the next year after it had already started. So we flipped them to try to fix that.
Yes.
And so we're going to hit that. Last year, when we made our predictions for 2015, our categories were politics, economics, tech, international, and hodgepodge. And before we started before we started recording the show, I spent the last couple hours listening to last year's show and making notes on all the predictions we made. And in a few cases where there were numbers related, I tried to look up the relevant numbers. And we're just going to go over them and see how we did and talk about each of our predictions. And Yvonne did not.
This year has been complicated. No, I did not. Sorry. I typically always have. This is the first time I have not been able to.
Yes. So, as I mentioned right before we started the show proper, this means Yvonne has to trust me on my characterizations of what he did or did not
predict.
Correct,
because every year we have argued about whether a prediction was made or not. I know we have tried to clarify that over the years, but this time right now, I'm basically just having to have to take Sam's word for it.
Yeah, I mean, because there are always questions. We have these conversations, and we always say things like, we're going to say, this prediction is blah, but we never really do that.
Yeah, we never do.
You know, so I basically take any time it sounds like we made a fairly declarative statement about what we think is going to happen, that counts as a prediction. And even then, sometimes we have, you know, when we've done these discussions, sometimes we've had interpretation questions on, well, what did I really mean by that? What did I say? And it helps when both of us have listened. But Yvonne, now you're at my mercy.
Yes, basically, I know. Oh, well.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll jump in going through our predictions, starting with politics. We'll be back right after this. Okay, we are back. So, you know, one of the things, you know, this is sort of a list of predictions and did we get it right or not? And sometimes, you know, it's not as, you know, Sometimes it's more or less interesting than others. It depends how, like, clear-cut things are. But let's start at the top. The first prediction made on the show was by me. And I predicted that at the end of 2015, Clinton would indeed still be the front runner on the Democratic side. What do you think, Yvonne? Did we get that right?
I thought you got that right.
Yay! Go me.
Go you.
Go me. And Yvonne did not make a specific prediction about that, although his later predictions sort of implied it. So, I don't know. Should we give you credit for predicting Clinton as the front runner? Because later on, you said, for instance, you made comments about the anti-Hillary and how they would be doing, which implies that Hillary's the front runner. Should you get credit? What do you think?
I'm going to say no.
Okay. So the next one, it actually confused me slightly, because my memory was that I was upset that I got this one wrong, but when actually reviewing it, it appears that I got it right. So I predicted specifically that Clinton would announce in April. So March would be wrong, May would be wrong. She had to announce in April. And my memory is that as her announcement was approaching, I was going, God damn it, why couldn't she wait a couple more weeks? I'm wrong because she couldn't wait a few more days. I remember saying things like that on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
But I looked it up on Wikipedia and she announced April 12th.
Ah!
So I'm wondering, like, what the hell? Was I counting some sort of pre-announcement as the announcement, even though that wasn't the official announcement when she put out the video? Or was I misremembering and thinking I had said May? But I listened to it several times. I predicted April.
All right.
And you specifically said, wait, you mean really April? Like, you're wrong if it's March, you're wrong if it's May? And I said, yes.
And you wound up being correct with April.
I did. And your prediction was that she would announce one of the other 11 months of the year.
And so I was wrong.
And so you were wrong.
So I took 11 months of the year, and I was wrong. And you picked 1 month, and you were right. Damn.
Although, again, I'm really confused by that one, because
I know that we were upset about this. Well,
I was upset for weeks on the show. I was like, please wait one more week. And I was like, God damn it, why couldn't you wait? But I don't understand. Because I was apparently right. So very confusing. Very confusing. Maybe I'll, before I put this show out finally, maybe I'll just go back and listen to all that crap one more time, both on the prediction show and maybe some of our shows around April, and see if I can figure out anything. And if so, I'll add a little note about it. But apparently I was right. This is Sam from the future here, and so I did indeed go back and listen to those shows, and here's what I found. So first, here is a clip from our December 27th, 2014 show, which is the 2015 prediction show.
So basically, your prediction is that it's going to be by April. So if she announces
in April. So I'm wrong.
In April.
If it's March, I'm wrong.
If it's March, you're wrong. And if it's May, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Man, you're really putting yourself out on a limb on this. Okay. All right. So, okay. Shit. I'm going to predict that you're wrong.
So you're going to predict it's one of the other 11 months of the year.
Right.
Incredible of you.
Okay, and next, here is a clip from our April 16th, 2015 show, which was the first show we recorded after Hillary made her official announcement.
So we got Clinton, of course, officially jumping in the race, and,
had no idea she was planning to run.
No idea. This is a shock to everybody.
Everybody was shocked.
And I am particularly shocked because she couldn't wait two more swear weeks. Because I predicted she would announce in May.
Oh, gosh. Oh, you know.
So there you go. The bottom line is that I did predict April. But by the time it happened, somehow it had morphed into my head that I had predicted May. And so I thought I was wrong and that I was hoping that she would wait just a few more weeks when, in fact, I was right on the money. Anyway, back to the show. Do-do-do. Okay.
Interesting.
Next up. We had a bit of a discussion about whether there'd be an anti-Hillary, how the anti-Hillary would be doing, etc. And what we had a big a discussion about the definition, like, because I started out by saying there will be a strong anti-Hillary, and then you said there won't be, and then we started defining what we meant by strong, and we had very different definitions, and so we ended up actually choosing some things on numbers where we actually agreed more than we thought we did initially. We were just using different terms for what we meant by strong opponent or whatever.
Okay.
So where we ended up is that both of us agreed that the anti-Hillary candidate would not be closer to 10%, closer than 10% from Clinton, like would be behind Clinton by more than 10% in all of the early states. So nobody would be closer than 10% in any early state. There, that's the right way to say it.
Okay, so that was what we said. Okay, so nobody, so she would have at least a 10% margin in Iowa and in New Hampshire.
We actually fucked it up a little bit. We said Iowa, New Hampshire, and Florida. And Florida's okay. Not really an early state this time around. But the early states are Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. So I just interpret it as not closer than 10% in any early state.
Okay.
And where we stood at the end of the year when the Real Clear Politics average, Iowa, Clinton was ahead by 2.8%. South Carolina, 12.8%.
12, okay.
Yep. South Carolina, Clinton was ahead by 40%, although there's been much less polling there. But In New Hampshire, Sanders is ahead by 5.8%, or was at the end of the year. That gap has shrunk a little bit since then, but so we were wrong.
We're wrong.
Because the anti-Hillary candidate, who is Bernie Sanders, is indeed ahead in one of the early states, specifically New Hampshire.
Of course, I would say that technically we were right, but we were wrong.
We specified very specifically.
Right, we went and we did the specification, and we failed the specification, but we were.
Well, we've got more on this because, see, we started out by saying I said there would be a strong anti-Hillary candidate. You said there would not be, but our definitions varied because when you said strong anti-Hillary candidate, you meant somebody who is actually having a chance of winning. Whereas when I said it, I just meant somebody who is strong enough to have an influence over the debate, and that's why we started defining the numbers. And so, on the no closer than 10% in any early state. We were both wrong because Bernie Sanders is ahead in New Hampshire. But I made an additional prediction that said the anti-Hillary will be more than 10% behind Hillary nationally. And I was right on that one because Clinton was up by 24% nationally at the end of the year. I also said that the anti-Hillary will be above 20% in one of the early states. And in fact, he is above 20% in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. So I was right on that one as well.
Okay.
So we were wrong in thinking that he wouldn't be ahead in any state, but when we start looking at what percentage he would be, he was as strong as I said. He'd be above 20% in one of them, and I was right on the gap too, that Hillary would be way ahead of him. You did not make any additional predictions on those items. So, next up, we both agreed there would be no Hillary implosion. I would like to give that to both of us.
Right.
The email scandal was the closest we got,
and she was
definitely, there was a period over the summer.
She was struggling, but she didn't implode.
She was looking shaky for a little bit there, but she got past it.
Yep.
And then we both agreed that Biden would not run.
And he didn't.
Go us.
Go us, yes.
Then I predicted that Jeb would indeed run. He did indeed run.
Yep.
These are sort of duplicate. I predicted there would be a huge divided field with a lot of people. You give that to me?
I would say yes.
Here's one that I completely got totally wrong.
Which is?
I said at the end of the year, when you looked at the Republican side, the top two would be Bush and Paul.
The top two would be Bush and Paul.
Bush and Paul.
Oh boy, you're way wrong on that one.
Oh yeah,
you're not even remotely close.
Not even remotely close. Both of those candidates completely fizzled.
Yeah, I was all saying.
And in fact, they're very close to each other right now. In the national average, Bush is at 3.3% and Paul is at 3.0% on Real Clear Politics.
God.
But that brings them in as number 6 and number 7, which is nowhere close to number 1 and number 2. And both of them, I think, you know, we've talked a bit about Bush's fizzle in terms of he's just shown himself to be an incredibly bad candidate.
He's been horrible.
And specifically with Trump, he has had absolutely no idea how to react to Trump in a winning way. But even taking Trump out of the picture, he's just been horrible.
Yeah,
he hasn't known how to respond to anything. He hasn't known how to put his brother behind him. Nothing. And so he may have raised tons and tons of money, but he's got jack to show for it. Now, I saw just within the last couple days, you know, some articles about how, you know, Jeb's comeback plan or whatever. And I'm like,
yeah. I was just laughing. I read those and I'm like, give me a break.
Yeah. So I don't see that happening. I'm sorry, Jeb. I'm sorry. As for Rand, we've talked less about how Rand hasn't done as well as he thought. I mean, my take going into this cycle was basically he would be able to consolidate what his father had gotten 4 years earlier and build upon it. Because there seemed to be sort of a little bit of a growing libertarian mood in certain areas. I didn't think he'd win, but I thought he would do better than his father did.
Yeah, he's done awful.
And that has not happened at all. And I think there are a number of reasons for it. One is the Republican Party very clearly is not in a libertarian mood at all.
No.
Specifically in foreign policy things, they are not where Paul is. I think Paul, he was even losing a lot of his libertarianish followers who liked his father, because in order to try to, well, I don't know how much of it is cynical posturing and how much of it is his actual beliefs, but he actually is a lot more moderate than his father is on a bunch of issues and a lot less pure. And so I don't think he was doing a good job at holding the Ron Paul people either. So if he wasn't holding the Ron Paul people and he wasn't expanding into the rest of the party, he's got nothing. And that's where he ends up.
Right.
Yeah, so next up, you predicted, however, you did not predict whether or not Jeb would get in, but you said that if he did get in, at the end of the year, he would not be the front runner.
Go me!
Yep, you nailed that one. I don't know if you predicted his fall was quite as big as it was. I mean, I think you said some things like, you know, he might be near the top, but he's not going to be a clear front runner. But he's clearly not the front runner. He's nowhere near the front. He's languishing at the bottom of the polls. You know, so you clearly got that one right. You had a good vision of where Bush was going.
Woo! Yes.
So congratulations on that. And then we talked a little bit about sort of, you know, I had mentioned that the top two were Bush and Paul. You said there would be no clear top two at all, that it would be so muddled and people would be so close together that there would be no clear definition of the top players. And I'm going to argue that the answer to that is no. And
yeah, you would argue that Trump is a clear front runner.
Trump is a clear front runner. Cruz is a clear number two. Now, they may not end up that way. Even a month, you know, even when we hit Iowa and New Hampshire less than a month from now, things may still change. But I think as of the end of the year, which is what we are talking about here, I think Trump and Cruz were clearly dominant over anybody else. If you look at national, or if you look at Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina.
Yeah, I guess I can't really. Yeah. Okay. I grudgingly will take that.
And then I said, also, in response to you saying everything would be muddled up there against the top.
You know, I my thinking was clear front runner is somebody with over 50%. That was my thinking, but I'm sure we didn't clarify that, you know, and I'm like, you know, that's why I'm
Wait. Your prediction was not that there was no clear front runner. Your prediction was there was no clear top two.
Clear top two. It's just that to me, even a clear top two, I mean, the guy who's, for me not to be muddled, the guy, somebody would have to be clearly ahead with like, and you know.
I think it's clear by any measure.
I don't agree.
Wait. The polls that came out today don't count. It's as of December 31st.
I don't agree. I still don't agree. But okay. But I will take that the data. I will take. I'm going with your vote. But okay. I'm accepting your determination. But I.
Let me ask this, because I mean, because I completely. I understand your arguments about why Trump and Cruz maybe can't win in the end.
Let's be clear.
But who's your argument? Who's number one and number two if it's not them?
The thing is that I say to me, it's still a muddled field because this is. But listen, you know what? I don't think I have good arguments to go. If okay. I went to objectively in front of an audience and tried to sell what I'm saying, I would probably get told by people no. So, which is why I'm accepting your analysis.
Because my take is, end up being right that like Rubio or somebody ends up winning in the end, right now, Trump and Cruz are clearly at the top of the field.
I'm
okay, you accepted it. Let's move on. Yes. My next was that there would be no big gap. I said in response to you saying there'd be no clear top two, that I said there would be a clear top two. However, there'd be no big gap between the top two and the rest. And we did not define this clearly. So I could go either way on this, because where we are, the top four nationally in the Real Clear Politics, as of December 31st, were Trump at 35.6%, Cruz at 18.6%, Rubio at 11.6%, and Carson at 9.4%. Now, if you look at the graphs, there's a huge gap between Trump and Cruz, a fairly substantial gap between Cruz and Rubio, and then Rubio and Carson are fairly close together, and then you've got another fairly substantial gap before you get everybody else.
You see, okay, to me, here's the thing, right? I'll read you two different polls, okay, in two different races. Okay?
Yeah, but we know we talk about averages. Listen.
Just one second, okay? You see, to me, all right, you tell me clear gap. I'm looking at this overall on the Democratic race, Clinton 50, Sanders 34, O'Malley 3. 50-34, that to me is a clear gap. She's at. All right? This is a different poll.
20 to 11 isn't a clear gap to you.
Right. I see Iowa. Okay. There's a greatest poll that shows Iowa.
You accepted my judgment on the other one. I'll accept yours on this. You accepted my judgment on the other one. I will accept yours on this one. I will give myself a no on this one.
Okay.
Wait. What am I arguing? I predicted there would be no big gap between the top two and the rest. So are you actually agreeing with that?
I'm agreeing with it.
Oh, okay. Well, then there we go.
I'm agreeing with
it. I will accept your judgment.
Because what I'm saying,
right.
It's a Cruz 31, Trump 31, Rubio 9. That to me isn't a clear gap. I don't, you know.
Okay. So next, we both agreed on this one. That on the Republican side, in the poll averages, there would be nobody over 20% nationally or in the first states.
Well, we're wrong on that.
We are clearly wrong on that. Trump and Cruz are both over 20% nationally. And in Iowa, Trump is also above 20% in New Hampshire and South Carolina. Yeah. So we were both wrong on that one.
Yeah, we're wrong on that. Yeah.
Now you made an additional
fucking Trump.
You made an additional prediction. That there would be no clear frontrunner across most early races. We're going to hit the same argument here. I would say there's no clear frontrunner in Iowa because Cruz and Trump are really close in Iowa. I would say that Trump is a clear frontrunner in New Hampshire, but you might argue against that. And I would say he's a clear frontrunner in South Carolina as well. And the three early states, and we said most. So if you agree that Trump is a clear front runner in two out of three, then we would give the most.
Two out of three.
And right now, I'd say he is the clear front runner in South Carolina and New Hampshire, but not in Iowa. So I would give this to you. Oh no, I would not give this to you because I think there is a clear front runner.
Nope. All right.
Okay. Next, I predicted, though, that overall the situation was still very muddled, were the words I used. And this is where I will agree with you, because it's not that there isn't a front runner, but, you know, as we talked about last week, I mean, my predictions were like, you know, somewhere between 40 and 50% Trump, but I was given 30% to Cruz, 20% for Rubio, 10% for somebody else. And if I gave Trump the 50%, I'd take it evenly from everybody else to make the math add up. So that's still, like, you know, a very muddled situation, very dynamic. Like, I predicted Trump's going to win the nomination, but, you know, I was still giving him odds less than 50-50. There's still a lot of other players in place. So I would say that, yes, indeed, it is still very muddled right now.
I agree with that as well.
And then, you know, we did, there was, for the most part, we completely and totally missed the Trump phenomena, but we did mention him in one single prediction that you made.
Which was?
You predicted that Trump would not run.
Oh, fuck. Well, I'm definitely wrong on that one. Well, the thing is, he had flirted with it all the time and never did.
And this is exactly what you said. You said he always talks about this. He talks about it over and over again. He never does it. And you predicted that's what would happen again.
Yeah. And then for some reason this year, he decided, oh, fuck it. So.
Yeah. So, but otherwise, that was the only mention of Trump in our entire prediction show from last year. Was when we were going through a list of potential Republican candidates and asking if either of us wanted to predict if any of these people were or were not going to run. And when I mentioned Trump's name, you said, ah, fuck, he's not going to run.
Yep.
So we completely and totally missed.
We completely blew
the whole Trump phenomenon.
Trump. Yep.
And of course, we're not the only ones. I mean, he took lots of people by surprise. He's still taking people by surprise. But still, we missed it.
Yep.
Okay, next up, you predicted that Rubio would run. So you got that one right.
I got that right. Okay.
I predicted that Rubio would not. I went with the line that said if Bush is running, Rubio will decide to wait it out and try it another time, and no, that did not happen.
Okay, you go me.
We both agreed that there would be talk of Romney running, but in the end he would not run.
And so far we've been right on that.
Yay.
Go us.
Now, we're not done on politics, but that is the end of our predictions from last year on the presidential election. So what? How do you think we did overall? I mean,
it doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say basically, I mean, we roughly got the Democratic side fairly good. You know, we talked to Clinton was ahead. We had a significant anti-Hillary, and we defined what that was, and we sort of went okay. But on that, but I think on the Republican side, we actually did pretty poorly.
We did pretty poorly. I think it's just, you know, the whole thing, the whole wild card was Mr. Trump. Honestly, if Trump hadn't run,
we might have been right.
Yes. But Trump just threw everything off kilter. And so, yeah.
And it's really. And I think he's going to continue to throw things off kilter for some time to come.
Yep.
So we'll see how that all works out. The next was this congressional velocity thing I was calculating in terms of the number of laws passed by Congress. And I'd actually stopped posting these updates as of last March. I hadn't calculated. So I actually had to go in, open up my old spreadsheets and do a calculation just for this, because I had not remembered that we'd made this prediction and I'd stopped keeping track of it. But I went ahead and did that. Our predictions were... I predicted that the 114th Congress at the end of 2015 would be slower than the 111th, 112th, and 113th Congresses in terms of laws signed into law by the president at a comparable period within those cycles. So I predicted it would be slower than all of those. You predicted that it would be faster than the 113th.
Okay.
So here are the stats. The 111th Congress, by December 31st, at the end of the first year, had passed 128 laws.
Versus?
The 112th, 81. The 113th, 72. And the 114th, 114.
Yay!
So you were right. The 114th was faster than the 113th. I was wrong because I stated that it would be slower than all three of those.
Yep.
It was actually slower than one of the three. It was slower than the 111th, but it was faster than both the 112th and the 113th. And that's one where I started to have some second thoughts as you were explaining your rationale for your prediction, but I stuck with my original prediction anyway.
Yeah, and I recall that. So there you go. Go me! Yes!
So the Congress has actually been passing laws. Imagine that.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. They even passed the thing to abolish Obamacare. We'll probably talk about that next week after it's vetoed, but anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So next up is vetoes, in fact.
Yeah.
And we had talked about how prior to 2015... Obama had only had two vetoes total in his entire presidency.
Yeah, I mean, he was fewest ever, right? As a president, I think it was.
Yeah, something like that. And so we both predicted that he would do more vetoes in 2015. And if we had left it at that, we would have been right. But we did not leave it at that.
Oh, boy, we're two idiots. What did we add?
So I predicted specifically that there would be 10 to 15 vetoes in 2015.
Oh, boy. And I went...
You predicted that there would just be more than 10. You didn't specify other than saying more than 10.
And we were both wrong.
The actual number of vetoes in 2015 was 5.
Jeez.
So, yes, we were both wrong.
Okay, so we were right and we were wrong.
Well, except we did not actually end up making a prediction that just there would be more vetoes. We both predicted specific ranges of the number of vetoes. And we were both wrong.
Dumbasses.
Excuse me.
I would give us like half credit, but oh well.
No. If we had stopped at it's going to go up, we would have been right. But we did not stop there. We forged ahead. We made more specific
predictions. We got bold and we got stupid. Yeah. But just talked ourselves out of a prediction. Okay, beautiful.
Yeah. All right. When I originally took notes, I said only I predicted this, but I think we actually both agreed on this, was that Obama would continue the general theme of using executive action to get around places where the Congress wouldn't move.
Yep.
Now, I want to give ourselves this, but then I started thinking, the specific examples of this that come to mind, most of them happened in 2014. Can you think of some specific examples of this in 2015?
Well, wasn't the immigration thing like this year?
That was 2014. It was one of the examples that we were using as he's going to continue doing stuff like that. Or at least there was some in 2014. Maybe there was more in 2015?
Well, the thing is that then I'd have to research this right now. I don't know if I could say... I mean, he's been like... They kept like... yelling and saying how he's been doing this stuff this year, but I can't come up with specific examples. And then the one that he just came up with the gun control thing was after...
was 2016.
Right.
So wait, let me look up the Heritage Foundation. No, wait.
Yeah? Well, you gotta get some.
This is too hard. They had a list of the top 10 abusive executive actions by Obama.
Okay.
But they don't have dates.
How many of those happened this year?
They don't have dates or anything. And there's a list of executive orders at the White House as well. But there, it's like all these. It's little things. Whereas what we're talking about specifically is big things.
Right.
So like okay, comprehensive list of executive orders under Obama. Let's see, 2013, let's skip that, 2012, oh, this only goes through 2013. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, that's not very helpful.
So the White House one, just to give you an example of some of these, because, like, in December, executive order strengthening the senior executive service. Executive order on a half-day closing of executive departments and agencies of the government on Christmas Eve. In November... executive order blocking property of certain persons contributing to the situation in Burundi. Executive order termination of emergency with respect to the action policies of former Liberian President Charles Taylor. In October, a national security medal. In September, using behavioral science insights. And these are specifically executive orders, too, which... See, the problem is, like, I remember immigration, but I think that was 2014. I remember the opening to Cuba. That was mostly 2014, although some continuation of it has happened in 2015. I guess Iran? Iran was definitely this year. Does that count? Is that good enough?
That wasn't really an executive order.
No, we weren't talking about executive orders. We were talking about things that the president did on his own authority without regard to Congress.
Yeah, well, you know what? Yeah, I mean, that Iran thing was a pretty big thing.
Okay, I'll count it. And there was more. He did more on the opening of Cuba again against.
Right, he did the opening of Cuba.
That started Iran in 2014.
Without getting the Congress to lift the embargo. So, yeah, you know what? I'd say that the answer is that we were right.
Okay, fine. Let's be generous to ourselves. Okay, yes. The next big issue, we argued about what the big issue of 2015 would be. We both agreed it would not be Obamacare. Do we agree it was not Obamacare?
It definitely wasn't.
We both agreed it would not be the economy. Do we agree it was not the economy?
It was not the economy, no.
You predicted that rather than a real big issue... it would basically just be lots of name calling.
Well, I've certainly been right on that.
Okay. And then the final prediction of the politics section is we both predicted that Obama would not be impeached.
And we were both right on that.
We were both right on that. Okay. With that excitement, let us take a break. And during the break, I will tabulate the results for this politics section, and then we'll come back. We'll be back right after this. Okay, we are back. And I'll add, for the first year this time, for calculating this, instead of having written all my notes on little scraps of paper, I actually made a little spreadsheet for it.
Wow.
I know.
Sophisticated.
Very, very sophisticated. And you know the main reason? At the time,
you have no room where to write.
At the time I was starting this, I would have had to walk like 6 feet across the room to grab a piece of paper from the printer, and my computer was right in front of me. And also, my computer is now fast enough that I can actually run Excel.
Oh, your computer actually works. That's right.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So, okay. So the results from our politics section. I made 21 predictions, of which 15 were correct. So my correct ratio was 71.4%.
Mm-hmm.
Yvonne only made 18 predictions, of which 11 were correct, for a ratio of 61.1%.
Mm.
So that overall, that gives us 26 out of 39, which is 66.7%.
I'd say that's pretty good.
And of course, you know, when we combine it into an overall ratio, it gives us sort of double credit when we both predict the same thing. If we predict opposite things, we cancel each other out, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. We don't care. It's how we've always done it.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. So now to start the economics section of this show.
Oh, boy.
So first of all, you started out the economics prediction section doing a prediction that had caused us problems in previous years, and so I wished you hadn't done.
Oh, boy, but what did I do?
No, it's just you made a specific predictions that our 2015 prediction ratio would be worse than we did in 2014.
Okay.
So we will get less right this year than we did last year.
Okay.
So that the answer on that will have to wait till the very end.
Yeah.
So we will come back to that at the end of the show.
Okay.
Okay. And Alex is crawling all over me again. I thought you left to go eat pizza.
Right.
What? You guys didn't go for pizza? Snip, snip, snip. Okay, we're back after a brief Alex interruption. Anyway, so our next prediction was our traditional annual Dow Jones prediction.
Oh, yeah. My favorite prediction.
I know it's your favorite. So you want to start with your prediction or mine?
Oh, let's go with yours.
Okay. My prediction, which I do every year the same mathematical way where I look at the, you know, how the Dow usually averages and pick a 70% confidence interval based on how the changes of the Dow over the previous 20 years, I predicted a range of the Dow ending the year between 16,774 and 22,781. The Dow actually ended the year at 17,425, so I was correct.
Okay, woohoo!
You predicted. You were much more optimistic about how things would be going. You predicted that the Dow would end the year between 20,336 and 24,856.
I'm way off.
Specifically, you predicted 22,596 plus or minus 10%, but I did the math.
Yeah, I'm way off.
So, yeah, you were wrong.
Yep, I was wrong.
Next. You predicted that the Fed would raise rates before the end of the year. Were you right, Yvonne?
Yes, I was.
Next up, you predicted the rate of increase. You predicted it, not the rate of increase. You predicted what they would raise the interest rates to.
And what did I say?
Between 0.5 and 1%.
I was wrong.
You were wrong.
It was only a quarter point.
Yeah. And Alex is back. Snip, 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 and back again. Okay, so Yvonne, your next prediction, and I did not make predictions on most of these. We were talking about GDP growth for the United States in Q1 through Q3, because okay. You know, we don't have results for Q4 yet, obviously.
Right.
And your prediction was the annualized rate of return for those three quarters would be 2 to 3%.
Okay.
Were you correct?
I'm looking it up right now.
So if I looked it up correctly, Q1 was 0.6%, Q2 was 3.9, and Q3 was 2%.
It sounds like I was right.
So I didn't do the annualized between those three. You want to do that real quick?
Here, I got, 0.6, 3.9, and 2. I would say, without doing any math, that the answer is yes.
Well, it's not just a simple average, right? Because you have to...
I know it's not the simple average, but, you know, even without that, that's
So the Q1.6 isn't enough to screw you over on that?
No, because the second quarter wound up at 3.9. So no, it's not enough to screw me up.
Okay, I will give it to you.
Okay.
Now, next, you predicted Europe will have at least two down quarters between Q1, Q2, and Q3. I do not believe that happened.
I don't think so either.
What I looked up was Q1.5%, Q2.4%, Q3.3%.
It grew all year. The EU grew all year, so they did not go into recession, which it seemed like it would. But the answer is Dad was wrong on that one.
Okay. And then I, to be contrarian, predicted that there would be two consecutive negative quarters in the U.S. I was wrong.
There you go.
And notice this year, I did not make predictions simply to predict the opposite of what you said. Because that hasn't worked out all that well for me in the past. So this time, I only made predictions when I actually had like some sort of logic behind my predictions. Not just, let's predict something different than Iman for fun. Let's
predict the opposite of what I haven't said. Okay, yeah. Yep.
Okay, now, the price of oil.
Yep.
So your prediction was that the price of oil would not go above $80 at any time during 2015.
I think I was correct.
The high for the year was about 65, so you were correct.
Oh, me?
I predicted it would go up 10 to 20%, so I was wrong.
Yep.
I want to be clear. I predicted that the price at the end of the year would be up 10 to 20% from the beginning. So it would end between 60.5 and 66.
Wrong. Like near the lowest of
If I had predicted that at some point during the year it had gone up 10%, I would have almost been right.
Right, but
I think I would have been right. It hit 65, which would have been in that range.
Right.
But I did not predict that it would do that at some point during the year. I predicted that it would end the year, and so I was wrong.
Yep.
The ruble. Now, there's this whole, like, backwards, upside down. When you say, like, below 65, you actually mean a number higher than 65. Correct. When you're talking about the ruble. Because people are stupid and don't like to say that the... It's $0.014, but instead they do rubles per dollar, whatever. So anyway, you said by the end of the year it would be below 65. Where did it end the year, Ivan?
80-something.
It's at 80-something now. It ended the year at 73.
Yeah, 70. Yeah. So I was right.
So you were indeed right. And I had once again made a prediction that it would go 10 to 20% in the opposite direction, and I was wrong.
You were wrong again.
I was wrong again. Economics is one of my best topics, as you all know. Now, the next one was housing. And I did not make a prediction, but you predicted that the housing market overall in the United States would be up for 2015.
And that is correct.
You were correct. I looked up a couple Case-Shiller averages, and I didn't look at the specific numbers, but they were all up.
Yeah, they were all up.
And that seemed like a reasonable metric for that.
Yes, Case-Shiller was a good one.
Then you asked me about Bitcoin. You did not make a prediction, but I did. I said Bitcoin would be relatively flat, and I defined that as plus or minus 10% of where it was at the beginning of, at the end of 2014 to the end of 2015. In fact, it was up 33%.
Okay.
So I was wrong.
Yep. Once again, oh my God, you really flopped on this one.
I sure did. I completely flopped on the economic section this year, and so I won't preview the totals. We're actually at the end of the economic section already. We will take another break.
God,
and I will count up these results.
Oh my God.
And see where we are. And how we did.
Okay.
I think I did well.
Yes.
I think I did very well. I just have a gut feeling that I did okay.
Okay.
We'll be back after this.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620 and LigonierRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LigonierRadio.com, The Valley.
Okay, we are back, and it's time to see how we did on economics before we start getting into our tech predictions. So, we'll start with Yvonne. Yvonne made a total of 9 predictions.
Uh-huh.
And depending on the results of that meta prediction, you either got 5 or 6 right, which we won't know till the end of the show.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see.
So if you got 5 right...
Well, if we take that one out... Okay, take that one out.
Well, no. We'll leave that one. We will look at both possibilities.
Okay, of the rest 8, of the other 8, I got...
Well, you got 5 of the 8.
I got 5 of the 8. Okay.
Right. So, but out of 9... It's either going to be 55.6% or 66.7%, depending on the results of that last question.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I made 5 predictions, and of those 5,
I got
1 right.
Oh, man! That has to be the worst you've ever done in a category.
I think
it was 8. Mommy's golden car.
Okay. Alex ran in to tell me that the squirrels ate mommy's golden car.
Well, that's not good.
I have no idea what that means.
Okay, then.
Anyway.
You did 1 out of 5.
I did one out of five,
when you've ever, whiffed that bad.
I don't think I've ever done quite that bad. I remember there was once a category that you got none in.
Yeah, but I don't remember you ever going in 1 out of 5. What? That's... Wow. Damn. Oh, well.
Yeah. So, anyway,
let's
20%.
Just say, from this, I guess you can take the feedback that don't trust Sam on the economy.
It's not my topic.
Not his topic. Definitely not.
And so that makes our overall total either 10 or 11 out of 14, which means either 71.4% or 78.6%.
Wow. Still. Okay.
There you go. Right. Let's start talking about tech. I'm going to take a quick pause, but then we'll jump into tech. Hold on a second, Yvonne. Snip, snip, snip. Okay, I'm back. So, I just had to get clarification about this thing with the squirrels eating the car thing.
Yeah?
So, because when I said I didn't understand what he was doing, my wife yelled from upstairs, what don't you understand? So I was like, what the hell? So, as it turns out, so I texted her, and she's like talking about, I mean, what golden car? Do you mean your actual car? And she's like, yes. And I'm like, oh, crap, not again. Because if you remember, her old Volkswagen got... The electrical system got eaten by rodents.
Yes, I was remembering this, yes.
And it actually got totaled twice by rodents. The first time, it was almost totaled, and the insurance paid up, over 10 grand or something to fix the damn car.
Jesus Christ.
And the second time, they were just like, no, we're done. This car's totaled. And they just gave us a check and said, go buy a new car.
Oh, God.
And it was all because, some kind of animal got in through the firewall underneath the car and, ate the electrical system. And we had some people tell us afterwards that apparently for a few years, Volkswagen, in some kind of effort to be environmental or something, was making the insulation on the wiring out of some kind of cornstarch thing or something, and that animals just found it incredibly yummy.
No, cold.
And so they were actually attracted to it. And then they realized that was happening and changed it. But if you happen to have one from those years, they were particularly vulnerable for this kind of thing.
Lovely.
I guess they still had to have some sort of hole to get in the first place or something. I don't know. Whatever. But, and so I thought, oh, crap, it's happening again. And then she clarified, no, it was her old car. And I'm like, well, why the hell are you talking about your old car? And it turns out because I had yesterday or the day before, I had a couple extra tortillas. And because, like, Alex had wanted them for snack, and then he decided he didn't want them, something like that. And they were in my car, and I took them out of my car, and I was going to throw them away. And then I was like, you know, no. There are these two rocks over here. I will put one tortilla on each rock and see how long it takes animals to eat them.
And?
As of earlier today, one of them had been nibbled on somewhat, but the other one wasn't. But apparently all this talk about her old car was because my wife saw the tortillas and was basically, what the fuck are you putting food for animals right next to my car?
Right. Yeah. I think that that's...
And so apparently she was explaining this to Alex and telling him the history, and that's why he ran up and told me about the squirrels eating the golden car.
Ah.
So there's a little bit of context, and I thought it was a perfectly reasonable experiment. Put it out, see what they would eat, blah, 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 see how they deteriorated over the next few weeks. I thought it would be cool to watch.
I don't think your wife agrees with your strategy.
Yeah. So next time I should just put a cake under her car or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go. That's one way to, you know, make friends, influence people.
Okay, enough of that distraction here. Tech. So we both talked about the Apple Watch, and we both agreed. We said that it would do okay, but it would not be a blowout product. But it would probably be the best-selling smartwatch.
I think we're totally right on that call.
On both of those calls. Yes. I think it was okay, but not a blowout. Yep. And I believe it is indeed the best-selling smartwatch at the moment.
As far as I heard, yes. The answer is yes. Yep.
Then we talked about the possibility of an iPhone 6 Minus. You were amused by the name that I gave it.
Mm-hmm.
But you predicted there would be one. A smaller size of an iPhone 6 introduced in 2015. Was there, Yvonne?
Not in 2015. The funniest thing that I've heard right now is that they're going to launch it this year. So
yeah,
I was wrong.
I predicted there would not be. And to be clear, you can still buy the 5S.
Yeah, but we were predicting a new one.
We were predicting about a new
one. Yeah, I was predicting a new one, and that did not happen.
That did not happen. Now, you also said that you couldn't see yourself using an iPhone 6 because it was just too big.
And the funniest thing is that I haven't bought one.
You haven't bought one. So you're still on your 5S.
Yeah, I'm still on my 5S.
You gave your wife a 6, though, right?
I gave my wife a 6S. But
is it too big for her?
No, she's fine with it. I mean, she carries it around her purse, which is a big thing. But I got to be honest with you. I've held back on it because I've grabbed it enough. I've used it, and I'm not completely comfortable with the size of it.
So you're holding out for the iPhone 6 Minus.
I don't know if I'm holding out for the iPhone 6 Minus, but I still, at this point, just don't feel comfortable buying that phone.
It'll probably really be the iPhone 6C or something.
I will say that probably, yes, the 6 Minus is probably not going to be.
Anyway.
I'll give it, yeah.
So I predicted there would not be a new iPhone size, so I got it right. You got it wrong on that one. Yeah. And then the next one is whether or not there would be a larger iPad released. And you predicted yes. Were you right, Yvonne?
Wait, what was the prediction again?
You predicted a larger iPad.
I was right!
Yes, you were. And I predicted there would not be, so I was wrong.
Yes!
I still don't see the point of this thing, but you are like, it's exciting, I want one. So I don't know, but they did release one in any case.
I have not bought one, not because I didn't like it. I
played with one at an Apple store a couple weeks ago, and the thing's huge.
It's huge. Yeah,
it is huge.
I have a friend of mine who bought one, really likes it. So
okay. So next we talked about the Apple TV. We both agreed there would be no quote-unquote real Apple TV, like an actual television. And I believe we were correct.
We were correct.
We've made that same prediction for the last few years, and we've always been correct on that.
That's right.
I don't think we said one way or another this time around. But anyway, we both also predicted that there would indeed be a new Apple TV box. We were right. There was one of those.
I bought one. I don't know if I...
Oh, did you finally buy... You bought one.
I kept forgetting. We're supposed to talk about tech in our show once in a while. I did. I love it. It's great.
I want to buy one soon, but I have not pulled the trigger yet.
I have bought one.
And my wife is like, we have an Apple TV. Why do we need a new one?
It's definitely better than the old one. Yes.
Yeah. I played with that in a store, too. But I couldn't quite articulate why it was better, other than... Yeah, I could list a couple of the features. It's got games, it's got a universal search, it's got this, but blah, blah, blah. But she was like, yeah, and? It plays shows, right?
Yep. It's kind of cool just to talk to it and say, hey, play this. It works very well.
My wife was not impressed by that.
My wife has liked it, so there you go. Okay.
Yeah, so we'll see if I end up getting one sooner rather than later, or whether I have to wait till the current one breaks. We'll see. And we both said that one of the differentiating factors would be games. It was.
Yep.
Have you played any games on the thing? What do you think?
I have. I played they got this little car racing game. I like it. It's cool.
Yeah. I will mention this year also, this is off topic, but for the first time ever, for as part of our Christmas stuff, my family got a game system. We got an Xbox.
Wow.
The old one. We got a 360, not a one, for a variety of reasons. It was but specifically there was one game we wanted that was only on the 360 and not on the one. But there are a number of other things. But we got a 360, so we've been playing it a little bit. But I mean, we've never been like a really gaming family. But, and the 360 is also relatively cheap at this point. The one's more expensive, the newer model, but the older model is still available, still has tons of games, and is very reasonable. So we picked one up and added it to our thing. So it's cool. Anyway, you also predicted that another differentiating factor on the new Apple TV would be universal search, which I believe you were correct on.
Yes.
Okay. We also said no significant iPad competitor in 2015, and you actually specifically specified that the Microsoft Surface does not count because you did not consider it a true tablet.
That is correct, yes. I think they have been like actively selling it as a laptop replacement.
Right. And so do you think we were otherwise right? There's still no...
I'd say we're absolutely dead on right.
Because we mentioned, like, in the phone space, there's tons of Android phones that are legitimate competitors to the iPhone. But in the tablet space, it's... Yes, there are Android tablets, but they're not... They don't have that sort of same presence that Android has on the phone side.
That's correct.
And so we also said on iOS versus Android, and just that general dynamic, we said it would be pretty much the same at the end of the year as it was at the beginning. What do you think? And
I'd say that's accurate.
And then the final thing in the tech category is we asked the question, will Microsoft do anything interesting in 2015? And we both said no.
And we were both right.
There's nothing interesting you want to point out to Microsoft?
I mean, like...
I can't remember anything.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm sure they did some stuff.
Oh, they did stuff, but it's like, I mean, that you're like, oh my God, look, whatever. No, I mean, but you know, they did some good stuff, but it's not like we were all like, oh my God, look at this new Microsoft thing we wanted. It's so cool. It's like, no, not really.
Yeah. So
yeah.
And that wraps it up for tech. So
we did pretty good on tech, I think.
I think I might have done better on tech than economics.
Yeah, I think so.
You think?
Yes. I would put money on that right now.
So we're going to take a break. My family has finally left to go get pizza. I don't know why it took them like half an hour to get out the door, but it's how it goes.
Standard operating procedure.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, so it actually is. I'm not surprised. So whatever. Anyway, we'll do the counting. We'll come back with how we did on tech, and then we'll go over international. Back after this. This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right, an opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show, which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you will definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show. Okay, we are back. And before I give the tech results, I have to say that Math Genius Sam once again fucked up on the economics side.
Actually, I was going to Mitch, that you'd I think that your calculation sounded wrong, but oh well. I was going to let the overstatement like last for a little bit. Oh well.
Yeah, they were very wrong because somehow I got 20% right and you got 55% right,
and you wind up with 78. Yeah. And I was like, wow, I love Sam Smith.
Yeah, no, that was wrong. So the actual results are: I got 1 out of 5, which was 20%. Yvonne got 5 out of 9, which is either 55.6% or 66.7%, depending on the result of that last question, because either 5 or 6, which makes the total either 6 or 7 out of 14, not 10 out of 14. I don't know where the hell I got that 10 from. I don't know what numbers I was adding up, but I know. I added up the number I got right plus the total number of questions you answered.
Right.
You predicted. Yep. Which is the wrong columns on the data spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that means the true economic results will be between 52.9%, as I screw it up again, between 42.9% and 50%, depending on the results of that one question. That right. is the meta question for the year, which shows that I actually brought down Yvonne quite a bit.
Yes, quite a lot.
Yes, quite a lot. Yeah, because I suck. Anyway, we did better in tech. On tech, I made 10 predictions, of which I got 9 correct for a ratio of 90%. Yvonne made 11 predictions, of which he got 10 correct, so that's 90.9%.
Damn.
Yes.
Wow.
So collectively, that puts us at 19 out of 21, or 90.5%.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we pretty good in that. Much better than we did in politics.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Or economics.
Yes.
Even if you take me out of the equation, you did significantly better on tech than you did on economics.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
There you go. Okay, so now international. So we started out talking about North Korea. And before we get into the specific predictions, one of the things that listening to last year's prediction show impressed upon me once again. And this is every year, this is sort of there, but the things that are the most relevant 1 year further on are often very disconnected from the previous year. So there are these issues that are like big and everybody's talking about them and oh my God, look, this is important. And then like a few months later, they're just gone.
They're right.
We're not talking about those things anymore.
Yep.
And you know, 2 years ago, it was something about like there was some kind of dust up in North Africa. And we had a prediction about that. And then this year it was North Korea. Of course, North Korea is back in the news this week, but that was not before the end of 2015.
That's absolutely right. That's this year, not last year.
Yeah. And I meant to say this at the beginning of the show, but I mean, you know, this has actually been a fairly big news week, but we're not talking about any of that shit.
Right.
There are all kinds of things that have happened in the last 7 days. We will wait till next week to talk about them, or some of them may already have faded by next week and we won't even bother.
Right.
But anyway, we talked about North Korea. The first was, will there be a military attack against North Korea by the West in 2015? I said no. I was right, I believe.
Good.
And we had a little bit of a discussion on taking action that was non-military. And we basically said, look, we're probably already doing things. We're probably always doing things, but they're secret.
Right.
And so the prediction you ended up making was that would be no on the radar action against North Korea, specifically things that we do and we admit we do and are obvious and are in the news. Because we can't
tell that was correct.
As far as I believe that is correct, because you know, we can say all we want that, hey, there's we're probably doing all these covert things, but unless there's public proof of it, we can't say a damn thing one way or another.
That's right.
On this show. I'm sure we're doing all kinds of things behind the scenes, but whatever. So our prediction was my prediction was no military. Your prediction was no on the radar action against North Korea of any sort. And I think you were right. I also made the prediction that sort of ties into what I said at the beginning of the segment, that North Korea would not be a big theme of 2015. We'd be not be talking about North Korea for a significant chunk of the year. Yep. And that was correct.
I guess that's why he decided to do something this week.
Yeah, I mean, because we did talk about the normal pattern for North Korea being they do something to aggravate everybody and get everybody's attention.
Right.
And then they drop off the radar screen for 6 months to a year.
That's right.
And then they do something else.
Right.
And there we are.
There we are.
So, moving on, this was right in the middle of all the kerfluffle about North Korea being responsible for the Sony hack. And the FBI had said that North Korea was responsible for it, but the evidence they'd presented wasn't all that convincing to security folks. We had a whole conversation about how we were sure they had to have better evidence of that was just secret, that they just weren't going to make public. Our prediction was, would there be enough solid evidence of North Korea doing the Sony hack released in 2015 that it would be incontrovertible and everybody would agree that, of course, that's what happened. There is no other alternative. And we both said, no, that would not happen.
Then I think we were both right.
We were both right. Yes. Yeah. I mean, if you take the government's word for it, then yeah, that's what happened. But again, the evidence that's been released publicly is very shaky. And so it's all about, you know, do you trust that they really have more than that?
Right.
And we also both predicted that there would also be no incontrovertible evidence that it was not North Korea, because there was also talk about, well, if it's not North Korea, is it some disgruntled employee? Is it this? Is it that? And no, there was no such evidence the other way.
Not one shred. Nothing.
Next, Ukraine. We both basically said status quo.
And it's been status quo?
Yes, it has.
Yep.
And then we moved on to Russia. We both said Putin would still be in charge at the end of the year.
We're accurate on that.
Then you said that there would be significant unrest in Russia over the course of the year, large enough that it would be in the headlines in the U.S.
I made that prediction again for this year because it didn't happen last year.
I was going to say there were a couple demonstrations. You're going to say no?
It's not but not.
And I picked the opposite here. I said there would it would not be significant enough that it was major headlines in the U.S. So I'll give myself that. I mean, there were obviously some things that happened. I just don't think they went to the level of significance that you were saying would happen and I was saying would not.
Right. Yeah, it didn't happen. So.
Okay. And you predicted also that Putin's popularity would plummet in Russia.
I would say that I'm wrong because I'm wrong.
Okay. Although it's really hard to measure, you know, cause
it's hard to measure, but I'm wrong.
Okay. We'll go with that. let's see. Then we moved on, to Cuba and, I said there'd be no formal lift of the Cuba embargo because that would require a Congress, and I was correct on that. However, there would be continuing loosening based on executive actions and things that the president can do without Congress, and I was correct on that as well.
Ding, right? Ding, ding. Yes.
And then we both predicted that relations would be, they at the end of last year, they had announced a plan to get to normalized relations. We both predicted that that would indeed happen over the course of the year. And we were both right. The embassy opened. All of that kind of stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Iraq. We both apparently, and I don't even remember this at this point, but apparently towards the end of last year, there was significant talk about Iraq being a country that was spinning apart and that maybe we would indeed get it actually separating it into multiple countries. And we both said that would not happen.
And that did not happen.
Now, we still have a lot of de facto things. We've got the ISIS-controlled areas. We've got the Kurdish-controlled areas. But it is still formally a single country. It did not break up.
Correct.
We both predicted that the whole situation with ISIS would still be a major thing going on at the end of the year. I believe we were right.
Yes.
And we both said, though, that we would not have the situation where Obama would say, screw it, I'm sending all the troops back in full scale.
And we've been right so far.
We have been right so far. He did announce some increase in presence there.
Right, but we're not,
We're not going for Iraq War 3.
No.
At least not yet.
Not yet.
Once President Trump is in power, who knows? we also said
that we're going to be busy building walls.
No, the Mexicans are going to build those walls.
Even. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. They're building.
You know, here's the thing. You know, he's going to be turn out to be completely right because they're going to be building that wall to protect themselves from us.
Probably. Yes, absolutely. Sure.
Keep all those damn Americans from coming to Mexico trying to get away from Trump. I hear Tijuana's nice.
I've never been.
I just picked a random city. My next random spot, which I have not gone to in a decade, is still in the Yucatan.
Well, that would be nice.
I have a nice little vacation planned if I can ever get it together, but I never will. But, you know, we'll see. Anyway, we also predicted that Iraq, the government in Iraq, would continue without any violent overthrow. I believe we were both correct on that as well.
Yes.
And moving on to Syria. We predicted that Syria situation would basically drag on and be roughly the same as it was.
And we're right on that.
We both said Assad would still be in power.
And we're right on that.
Then we tried to predict where the next big global crisis would be. That wasn't you know, one of the countries that, you know, we were just talking about. Your prediction, do you know what your prediction was? Because
I don't remember. Where did I pick?
I think it's Venezuela.
That's what I picked.
Yeah. Didn't you pick that again this year?
Maybe. Yes.
So was the next big global crisis in Venezuela in 2015?
No.
I mean, things happened in Venezuela.
But not a big global crisis.
Now, my prediction was that the next big global crisis would be in Indonesia.
Yeah, that's wrong, too.
It wasn't.
No.
Okay. We both predicted that Ebola would be a non-issue by the end of the year.
And we're definitely quite right on that.
And then we both predicted on the issue of whether or not there would be a terror attack in a major Western city greater than equal to or greater than the size of the London and Madrid terrorist attacks of a few years earlier. We both said there would not be.
And we were both right.
Paris was bigger than London and Madrid.
I don't think so.
Check the numbers.
Okay. The Madrid bombing, I'm pretty sure, was a lot bigger than Madrid train. Okay, here it is. Madrid train bombings. 191 people killed.
Okay, how many were killed in Paris? It was 170 something.
Yeah, it was less.
Let's see.
There were 22,000 injured and 191 dead.
In Paris?
In Madrid.
Okay, so how about Paris? It was close.
I don't think there were 2,000 injured.
No, number of dead. Number of dead is the metric.
It was less.
I think it was 170, maybe? It was close.
It was 130. And only 360 hurt. Yeah, so that's okay. A lot smaller than Madrid, like
okay,
I said.
Okay, so we specifically called out London and Madrid. So it was bigger than London, though, right?
I know. I think London was bigger, too.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, they were both pretty big. That's why I remember that's why I called those out.
Let's look at London. Just to be clear on here, 52 civilians killed, 700 injured. So in terms of number,
700 injured. Yeah.
In terms of number killed, though, it was bigger than London, but smaller than Madrid.
Yeah, but it was smaller than in the overall number of casualties if you count both.
Yeah. Well, we have to call about
700, 756. You got 756, and you got Jesus.
Well,
2,000 in Madrid.
Even if you're talking number dead, it's smaller than Madrid anyway. Even if it was bigger than London, so we were both right. Then there was not a terrorist attack of that size.
Correct.
Huh. Okay. I was thinking that Paris was actually bigger, but I guess not. Memory fades, I guess, over the years.
Yeah, that Atocha.
At least mine does.
I remember that. I mean, that the Atocha one. I guess it was massive. I mean, it was yeah. So no, didn't get the number.
Okay, and that is the end of our international section.
Okay.
We're going to take a break.
Tabulate the results and come up with some other random number.
Exactly. I will have the computer add random columns that have nothing to do with the actual numbers, and give some numbers and see how we do.
Yes.
And then we'll talk about our hodgepodge section, which is where we just put in all the other random crap that we didn't think of in the other sections.
Right.
So we will be back after that to do that. To do that. Anyway, back.
Hey, we know when you listen to this show, you have thoughts about what we say. You probably want to vent about what we got wrong or what we left out, right? Or maybe you want to suggest some future topics we just haven't gotten to yet. Well then, tell us all about it. Right now, there are four ways to get feedback to us. First, you can go to the Curmudgeon's Corner Facebook page and leave comments on the post where we announce all the new episodes. Second, you could go to curmudgeonscorner.com, that's with a hyphen, and leave a comment there instead. 3rd, both Yvonne and I are on Twitter. You can talk to me at Abulsme, A-B-U-L-S-M-E, or Yvonne at I-M-B-O, I-M-B-O-U. Finally, if you don't want to make your comments in a public forum like that, just email me directly at abulsme@abulsme.com. Again, that's A-B-U-L-S-M-E. But, you know, if you don't want us to mention your feedback on the show, be sure to say so, because otherwise we're probably going to respond to your comments on a future show, because, you know, that's what makes the discussion. Thanks, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Okay, we are back. So going over the results on the international section, I made 19 predictions.
Yep.
Of which I got 17 correct, which is 89.5%.
Damn.
Yvonne made 17 predictions, of which he got 13 correct, which is 76.5%.
Wow.
So between us, unless I added random columns again, we got 30 out of 36, which is 83.3%.
Damn.
That's not bad.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah. Okay. So, hodgepodge. A few random categories here. Our first prediction, both of us predicted that Fidel Castro would die.
I was going to wonder, is that the first thing we talked about?
Yes. Yes, we always talk about that.
And we were both wrong again.
Yes, although this year we made opposite predictions. So,
okay.
You predicted that who would die, and this last year I predicted that he's immortal and he will never die.
Right. So therefore, you know, there you go. So one of us will be right this year.
One of us will be right this year. But no, we both got it wrong for 2015. Fidel Castro is still alive.
As far as we know.
I predicted there would be landfall of a Category 4 or 5 hurricane in the United States. Did that happen, Yvonne?
Nope.
Damn it. Death and destruction. Come on.
Yep. Nope. We didn't get it.
No. I predicted there would be no first contact with aliens in 2015.
I think you were right on that one.
Yes! Yes! I'm so insightful. I predicted that 2015 would once again be the warmest year ever recorded.
And you were right on that?
I was right, yes. I predicted that no one in my family would total a car in 2015.
I think you were right on that?
I was right, yes. I'm very glad of that. And I'm glad that that thing about the car earlier was not another car being totaled.
Right.
I also predicted that I would not replace an iPad or iPhone because it was destroyed in 2015.
And?
So, I didn't, but it was close. So, those of you, you might remember from listening to the show that I did smash the screen of my iPhone in 2015.
But it still worked.
Well, it still worked, but normally I would have, you know, gone in and, you know, got a refurb or whatever to fix the damn screen. But it happened 10 days before the scheduled announcement of the iPhone 6s. And I knew I was going to buy an iPhone 6. So rather than get it fixed, I taped it up and lived with it for a few weeks until I could get my iPhone 6S, 6S Plus, I should say. So I did not actually replace the iPhone because it got smashed, but I was only saved because I smashed it right before the iPhone 6S Plus was going to come out anyway.
Well, you were right.
I was right. I'm giving myself that.
Yes.
And also, I should say, I also did a number of life-extending things. I got the battery replaced on my old phone to make it last a few more months because it was basically dying. But not because I'd smashed it. But I did smash the screen, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. It's like a week before the announcement of the new ones. But Anyway, I was going to get the new one anyway, and I did not change my plans in any way because the screen smashed, so I'm giving myself credit for that.
Yes.
Okay, next we talked about cyber attacks. And we both agreed with the statement that in 2015, there would be at least two cyber attack cases worse than the Sony breach.
Was there?
There were several that were fairly massive in scale.
What about
and this all,
the OPM? The, was that this year that we did?
That was this year. OPM yeah. was this year. There were several others, and I guess it argues as to what you mean by worse than Sony, which we didn't really define. And even if you count OPM as worse than Sony, well, see, the thing is, with OPM and with a couple of the others that have been talked about this year, it's all the usual sort of release of password information, release of... Well, OPM is pretty bad, so let's grant OPM as at least on the same category as Sony.
Yes.
Is that fair?
Yes.
Was there another?
I can't think of it.
So if only we hadn't said at least two.
Yeah.
So we should give ourselves a no on this one.
We should give ourselves a no.
God damn it. We also predicted that there would be no cyber attack with an associated death count. Can we say yes to that?
Yeah.
Because as far as we know...
Yeah, there was no cyber... Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Nobody died in one of any of these cyber attacks.
Right. As far as we know, so far.
As far as we know.
Okay, because it would have to be public for us to know. Like, there's an argument that this OPM stuff included, like, identities of some secret agents and things like that that might have been put in danger, blah, blah, blah. But there has been no definitive report put out there that specifically links deaths to a cyber attack.
That's right.
And we both sort of agreed that at some point in the future that's going to happen, but we said it was not going to happen in 2015, and I think we're right.
Yep.
Okay, the next, we both agreed that the issue of police violence, specifically police violence against the African-American community, would recede as an issue due to fatigue. Not that the actual issue would go away, but that it wouldn't be front page news all the time like it was in 2014.
Well, we were definitely wrong on that.
Yeah, I'd say we were wrong. That has continued as a front page almost every week issue all year long. We have not talked about it a lot on our show.
Just because it's repetitive and we just don't have much to add, but it's been a big subject.
It has been a big subject, and also it's one of those things where I don't know about you, but I feel a little bit queasy talking about some of the details of some of these as, a white male, heterosexual, blah, blah, blah. I don't feel like I necessarily have a really good perspective on all of it. But when we do talk about it, we say the same thing. It's a bad problem. It is a real problem. It should not be ignored. It needs to get better. But it's gone on all year long.
Right.
So we were wrong that it would recede. Because we were basically predicting, hey, it's still going to be an issue, but we're not going to be talking about it all the time. But,
it was definitely.
And we both also predicted that the actual trends I predicted that the underlying trends around this would not significantly change. And I think I was right on that as well.
Okay.
Okay. Then I predicted George H.W. Bush would die. He did not. He is still with us.
Thank God.
And we declined to make that prediction this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next up, you went out on a limb here.
And
said, because I asked you, how about a car prediction?
Mm-hmm.
And you predicted, and you originally said for sale, but then you backed off and said at least announced. You said Honda or another Japanese car company would announce that they would have hydrogen cars for sale in the U.S. in the near future.
I was absolutely right.
Okay.
Toyota announced it. The Mirai.
When did they announce it?
It was sometime in the summer.
And when will they... when did they
it's
announce
on sale.
It on sale? Oh, it is actually on sale.
Yes.
Okay. You can actually go out and buy one.
Yes.
Huh? Why haven't
it starts at $57,500. Yeah.
Oh, excellent. See, I had that completely went past my radar. I didn't even realize it.
The 2016 Toyota Mirai. They announced it a few months back.
And available for sale in the U.S.
And available for sale in the U.S., yes.
Okay, excellent. And you haven't gotten one.
And I haven't gotten one. But the main reason is because, well, number one, I got a car just recently, number one. But
And I gather you got your wife one, too.
And I got my wife one, too. You know, but I got one that's only 2 years old. But the thing is that the charging stations where they focus, like in the launch, are in California for the most part.
You
like
just
right
have
now.
To move.
Yeah, I guess. Let me see. Deliveries, retail sales in the U.S. began in August 2015. $57,500 deliveries to retail customers began in California in October.
Okay, so there you go.
There you go. There you go.
Okay, I said that the moves towards self-driving cars would continue, but we're not anywhere near actually having them, and I think that was right.
That's correct, yep.
I predicted Apple would buy Tesla. Did that happen?
No.
You predicted Apple would not buy Tesla.
I was right.
And then the last prediction of last year's prediction show... You predicted Yahoo would buy AOL.
Shit.
Did that happen, Yvonne?
Somebody bought AOL, but it wasn't Yahoo, damn it. I think it was Verizon. Damn it.
So
no.
You were
somebody
wrong.
Yeah, I was right that AOL is getting bought. I just picked the wrong company.
Okay. Well, so we are going to take another break. And we will come back with the results of the hodgepodge section, as well as the overall results for our predictions covering the year 2015.
Which our random number generator will come up with an answer.
6.
Great.
We'll be back after this.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, we are ready to go.
Uh-huh.
So, first of all, let's do the hodgepodge category first.
Yes.
I made 13 predictions, of which I got 7 correct.
Okay.
So that's 53.8% correct.
Okay.
Yvonne made 7 predictions, of which he got 3 correct.
Ouch.
42.9%. Giving us overall 10 out of 20 or 50% in the hodgepodge category.
Okay.
So, now, adding these all up, that means I made a total of 68 predictions and I got 49 of them correct. So my overall score this year was 72.1%.
Okay.
Just as comparison, my percentage in the previous year was 77.3%. So I declined from 77 to 72%.
Ooh!
Yvonne, your case would be either 43 or 44 out of 62.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how we did overall.
Yep.
So the 42 or 43. Sorry, it would be 42 or 43, depending
okay.
on how we did overall. And I guess I'll give it away now. We did, in fact, do worse this year than last year.
Yes!
So you got that one meta question correct, which, going back to the economics category, means you got 6 out of 9 correct in economics, making that 66.7%, and our overall score in economics 50% when you average in my 20%.
Okay.
So that means your total score was 43 out of 62 for a percentage of 69.4%. So, and that compares to last year when you got 68.7%. So you actually improved slightly over last year from 68.7 to 69.4.
Okay.
But our total, because I went down, our total is 92 out of 130. So our final percentage this year is 70.8%. Compared to 72.9% the previous year. So we went down a couple percent, or a percent and a half. I forgot. I didn't do the math. But from 72.9 to 70.8 is our decline. So we did go down, but we ended up 70.8% correct in 2015. Which, by the way, is better than we did 2 years ago when we were at 68.6%.
Okay.
So for the last few years, plus or minus a little bit, we've been right around 70% accurate. And so we'll give ourselves our usual annual pat on the back that 70% ain't bad.
I'm going better. I mean, that's pretty damn good. I'm sorry. I keep pulling, like, some people's predictions out there and look at all the nonsense that they predict, which is like, I mean, I've seen like people like throw out like 10 predictions that are all wrong. They're all nonsense. If you want to see the future, listen to Curmudgeon's Corner.
There you go. And I'll point out too, category wise, my best category, as you probably could guess, was economics. I just crushed that one. I did wonderfully. No, my worst category was economics at 20%. Yvonne, your worst was the hodgepodge category at 42.9%.
Yep.
Both of us had the same best category. We do best at tech.
We do for a living, I guess.
And I was 90%, and you were 90.9%.
Damn.
And that was by significant margin. Well, not that significant. I came close in international. I was at 89.5 in international, but tech was our best, and politics was only middling. I mean, we've spent most of the show on politics the last year because of the election, and you know, I you were at 61 and I was at 71.
Well, look, I think that here's the thing. If you look at the categories, we're probably far more difficult to predict. Okay, I will say that they definitely, politics and economics are two of the more categories that, I mean, economists get railed about how they can never forecast the economy right, and in politics, I mean, you know, all the pundits, I mean, that's what they get railed about too. So I will say that our percentages, I would say, compared to other people on that, not too bad still, you know. So
yeah,
anyway. All right.
We definitely did well. And I will say, I will add one. While we were recording the show, we got a piece of feedback about last week's show. Hey, Sam, great show. Things are really heating up now. This is from our listener, Mark, who's been around a while. And he says, I hear you're watching the Star Wars TV series. Don't forget the Clone Wars series from 2003. So don't worry, I won't. And supposedly they get better. They get better. So
okay. One thing. There were a couple of things that we were asked before that we didn't make a call out on, which I know don't count towards a prediction category. We're going to leave that.
You want to do those now or wait till?
Sure. Let's do those now. Which were the two questions that we had? We had one. I think it was.
It was only one as far as I know. And
there was one that I thought or put on our Facebook page. Something about. Wasn't it like extraterrestrials or something?
Oh, yeah. That wasn't actually a request for a prediction. That was from a couple weeks earlier. But the one we did get via email, actually, was from our listener Amber, who has co-hosted the show once with me, and they asked, will daily fantasy football be outlawed, validated, or morphed into something in between to address the skills versus gambling issue? Or will it not be addressed nationwide at all in the near term? Seems a little like stock market light, so the impact could be far-reaching. What do you think?
I think that probably what I've heard is that it will probably be validated. I've heard like in one state where this is in New York.
Well, the big issue is in New York right now.
The big issue is New York, and they are basically, the rumors are, what I'm hearing right now is that probably by summer there'll be legislation that will be clarifying that will make it clearly legal.
Yeah, I think I would predict the same thing. Is whatever happens in the courts, like if the courts do essentially determine that this is gambling and therefore not allowed, I think it will be fixed legislatively, because this is a big industry, and for the most part, the American public in general, you know, looks at these things and says, "You got to be kidding me, right?" This is just a pool. This is just for fun. Yes, there's money involved, but you know, and frankly, in general, laws against gambling have been getting weaker. I mean, we used to have, you know, if you wanted to gamble, you were talking about Vegas or Atlantic City, and that was it. Now we've got, reservation gambling in all kinds of other places. We've got loosening of rules in other places as well. And cause basically people are saying, you know, this is just another one of those things where, you know, let people be stupid if they want to be stupid, basically. And why is it the government's business? And you know, the counter argument, of course, is, there are a lot of people that are pretty stupid out there that get taken in and lose a lot of money. There are other people who are gambling addicts who lose a lot of money. But it seems like there are other ways to solve that rather than restricting everybody's ability to do stuff. And I think things are generally moving in that direction.
The people who are addicts, like they gamble regardless of whether it's legal or not. I mean, you know, gambling is easily available in the U.S. I mean, that's, anywhere. So that's just,
And we had another listener talk to us on our Facebook place about Facebook page about, you know, the sites that let you do place bets on political results, basically. And there's the big one, InTrade, was shut down a couple years ago, and the current one, I forget the name of it. I look it up. There's questionable legality of these things because, what's gambling, what's not, what's the line, what skill versus whatever. The nuance, predict it, is the one that our listener Bruce encouraged us to try. And I can't in my state, but you can in yours. And it's one of these things where there's differing state laws, and there's this and there's that, and for the most part public reaction to these things is, you got to be kidding, right? Let people do what they want to do. I mean, unless it's an outright scam where they're just taking money from everybody. But I guess even then, if you disclose it, I mean, because frankly, like if you look at gambling, you know, in Vegas or any place like that, of course it's set up for the house to win. You know, yes, on average you
of course
lose.
It is
The Powerball was tonight is I had some huge number again, and of course the house wins. On average, anybody playing any one of these games will lose over time. Done. Yep. You know, but people know that getting in, and yes, people have called some of these things, you know, taxes on the mathematically illiterate, anyway, I think the answer is, I don't know what the court will do, but if the court says you can't do this kind of stuff, the states will pass laws saying, okay, yes, you can. And I think that's what you just said too. So the other thing you mentioned was, we did have a message a couple weeks ago from somebody, from Richard on our Facebook page, asking us for Curmudgeon's Corner. When are you going to discuss humanoid extraterrestrials live among us? Hatlau. They have been here the whole time, and the Earthlings are unaware of it.
When are we going to discuss that, Yvonne? Probably not anytime soon.
I told him that I was sorry that we didn't do it that week, but maybe we would sometime. And he responded, let me know. He would love to hear the discussion. And he's even started a petition to promote disclosure of this.
Well, good luck to him.
And he mentioned if I studied physics, which I actually did, I may find his explanation of how comets become the planets and moons are interesting as well.
Very interesting. All right. Well, we're not going to be discussing that anytime soon. I think that's it.
Until the aliens, announce
this. Well, those bastards will freaking take me out and beat the crap out of me, probably, I'm sure.
I would think the aliens would be quite fond of you.
You think? Maybe? I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe once they fry you up with a little batter.
Yeah, that maybe make me a little bit tastier, yes.
Well, there you go. Anyway, that is our review of our 2015 predictions. And last week, you heard our predictions for 2016. I hope you enjoyed them. The predictions are tend to be a little bit more fun and exciting than the review of our show. But I think it's important for accountability that we actually go back and grade ourselves. Because then you know how we're doing. And yep. how full of shit we are or not, when we talk about things. So there you go. 70% accuracy for the last 3 years. We've been right around 70% accuracy, and we're pretty damn proud of that. That's pretty good.
Okay. All right. I'm very proud of it, too. I am, I'm pretty happy the way we did. So
next week, we'll be back to a regular show. Talking about the news of the day. And, like I said, a lot has happened this last week. China stocks, the Iran-Saudi Arabia thing. We had CES happening.
Yeah, the Chinese stock market this morning opened and probably shut down because it,
Two days in a row now. And we've had this Al-Qaeda thing here in Oregon. We've had Trump putting out his first ads. We've had the Obama gun stuff. We have Twitter talking about changing their character limit to 10,000 characters. We've had the North Korea setting off a nuke, which they claim is hydrogen, but doesn't look like it really was. We've had Netflix expanding in more countries. We've had Clinton catching up with Sanders in New Hampshire. We've had Trump attacking Cruz's eligibility to be president and a bunch of other Republicans saying, oh, maybe, I don't know. We've had Trump attacking Clinton's sex life and all the usual shenanigans. But we didn't talk about them this week. If any of them are still relevant next week, we'll talk about them then. Otherwise, we'll talk about whatever new has happened in the next week. So everybody, tell your friends, comment on our show on Facebook. We're at Curmudgeon's Corner. I'm at Abelsmay on Twitter. Yvonne is at IMBo. We love to hear from you there as well. And in the meantime, hey, everybody, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.